Technorama Network Show for episode 437.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
We seem to have misplaced 4 years worth of feedback. Have you seen it around here anywhere?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh man, this is heavy.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, you need somebody to help you carry that box, Chuck?
Box? There's like three bags of mail here. Voicemail's heavy.
Voicemails in a bag.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is our, quote, network show for June 3rd, 2015. This is a companion podcast. We haven't done this one in a while. This is a companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, and social network comments. If you are new to Technorama, there is another major piece to this, so don't freak out. If this doesn't make any sense, go back one show and have a listen. Otherwise, pull up a chair and spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called the listener line, sent us audio clips or whatever. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good.
Great. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody in the live studio audience tonight. Everybody's got other plans.
How are you, everybody in the studio audience? Your crickets.
Ben and Keith are at Phoenix Comic Con. I was unable to attend because of business reasons. I just got back from the UK yesterday, and boy, are my arms tired. Mike Menengay is busy working on a home project. I haven't heard from Brian or Jack or any of the regular crew. I saw Julie on Skype and said, hey, you want to join us for the show? Because she's still part of the crew, even though she's 2,000 miles away. She said, no, probably the audio quality would be bad.
I'm too cool for you, Dad.
I'm all grown up and want to start my own podcast.
Yeah. So I wonder why all those bags of voicemails are heavy. Did you print them out like you would like emails and stuff?
On punch cards.
Yeah, punch cards.
Let's get into the first one. It's from Jack Jaffe.
Okay. By the way, I know you guys kind of bag on Craig at times, but
yes.
I love his off-color jokes. They're hilarious. And by the way, about the whole thing with the sign language thing, do you really think the people that are really upset about that are listening to podcasts?
Yes.
Think about that for a split second.
Mind blown.
Well, we do have a Braille version of the podcast.
It's on paper tape.
Speaking of printing all these this audio out.
Right, they can read the voicemail.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be a speech-to-text thing out there somewhere.
Well, remember a long time ago, somebody was experimenting with that, and with podcasts specifically, where it would transcribe the podcast, and
yeah,
you could kind of put in your feed. I don't know whatever happened to that, but
that would be very difficult, especially if you had multiple hosts and they all started talking at once and we're talking over each other. That often happens
like
here.
Round table kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The caption just says, it's like on a movie, incoherent gibberish. Of course, that would say that for most of the show, incoherent gibberish. Let's see what else he's got to say.
Random sounds.
Hey, this message is kind of for Craig.
Kind of.
All right, I'm very happy to hear you talk about the Giga Coaster and Carowinds. Carowinds is owned by the Cedar Fair Amusement Corporation, which is out of Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes.
Which is kind of relatively close to where I live, and I actually have a Cedar Point Platinum Pass, which allows me access to every single park there is in the Cedar Fair Amusement Corporation. I would absolutely, if you're available, if I ever actually get down to North Carolina and we actually can organize it, which will never happen, however, dude, we still got to go on the coaster.
Mandate.
But you know what? We are not going to wait in line for an hour and a half. Dude, there is the fast lane. I don't care how much they cost. I always buy them because I like to be, pretend that I'm a rich douchebag. And yeah. Believe me, there's nothing better than getting on a coaster with only a 20-minute wait as opposed to an hour and a half wait, even if you have to deal with people staring at you. I know you probably got kids and, you know, it's a whole big family thing, but if it's just two dudes, you and me or, you know, a buddy or whatever into that, it's well worth the investment if you're a really big coaster enthusiast to get those fast lane passes. I'm going to be going to parks for about 4 or 5 times this summer, and I'm going to get the fast lane every single time. Yeah, I'm an asshole like that. Catch you guys later. Bye.
And you drink champagne. Come on.
Yeah, Craig, on the roller coaster.
We've got to get to the roller coaster fast.
Yes. I love the roll and turns of this one. The angles are so uplifting. See what I did there? Actually, so, okay. I've spoken with Jack a little bit more about his coaster addiction. And actually, it turns out he will be coming in my area in October. So I tentatively got, I think it's October 3rd on my calendar. So if anybody wants to join us at Carowinds, we could just make it a podcast day.
Sure. Yeah. Make it a meetup.
Yeah. So if anybody's in the area in North South Carolina wants to come to hang out with us at Carowinds, I'll have more I'll put out more details on the blog or on the show. And when it gets a little closer, because October is like months away. Of course we say that and then it's like Dragon Con. Oh, it's months away.
It's about 30 days and change. Right. So, I did read an article that SeaWorld is now going to be building to be released in 2016. They're going to have the biggest, fastest, steepest, nastiest, sickest roller coaster coming next year. So Carowinds will hold that title for a little bit.
And, well, there's always a bigger one coming up.
Yes.
There's always one coming around.
Today on Facebook, Jack Jaffe posted an article about a roller coaster that used to be at, where was it? Was it?
The wooden one?
The wooden one, yeah. Son of Beast. who had the roller coaster called Beast? Was that Cedar Point? I think it was Cedar Point.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
They built one called Son of Beast, which was the largest roller coaster with an inversion. It had a loop at the bottom of the drop. Unfortunately, I shouldn't make light of this. It wasn't funny. There were some deaths on that thing and a couple of reported injuries. One could definitely be attributed to the roller coaster, and one was suspect. The injuries, not the deaths. But they later took the loop out, and then in 2012, they just dismantled it and removed it from all publications and online videos and things. So it sort of slipped into obscurity, but wow, wooden roller coaster with a loop. That would be this frightening.
This was Kings Island in Mason, Ohio.
That's what it was. It was Kings Island.
Yeah. Now, to also add, and I found this out recently, that the Thunder Road roller coaster at Carowinds, which is a 39-year-old dual track wooden roller coaster, is actually closing in July.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's actually the only roller coaster to cross state lines. It crosses.
You need a passport?
Yeah.
It stops halfway through the ride. Are you carrying any weapons?
Get off on another one and get on. No. So it crosses over the North and South Carolina border.
Let's make the first roller coaster that crosses countries. It goes between Canada and the U.S.
I wonder if there is one. I don't know.
Maybe.
So it kind of makes me sad because I grew up at Carowinds. Literally, it's less than 15 minutes from down the road. It's easy to get to. I worked there. I've been there since I was a kid in the 70s. See something like that go away, I hate it. But at the same time, I think about the wooden roller coasters. I imagine they got to be hard to keep maintained because look at all the wood. You got to go inspect it. It's weathered.
Replace it at certain points. Yeah, I know
the one. It's got to be a pain in the butt.
The American Eagle at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois, just north of Chicago. Mm-hmm. That one was always under constant maintenance. And time was when you had to stand in line for 3 hours when it was freshly open and a novel ride. We were going in and out of it like it was not even an issue. A few years ago, then they started having fun and running the cars backwards.
Yeah,
you go down the big drop backwards. That adds a new element.
Oh, yeah.
It's summertime. It's roller coaster season. We want you to call in. Call the listener line. Where is that number? Here we go.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Let us know where you've been and what you've been riding. Yes.
By the way, I have one more roller coaster quick story to tell you.
Okay.
And I imagine this one's probably going to be next on the chopping block. I don't know. But at Carowinds, it's been owned by several corporations over time. So one of those was Paramount. So we had the Borg and a lot of Star Trek theme stuff there over the time at that time. Well, when Wayne's World got popular, we had a Wayne's World at Carowinds, which was kind of cool. And they had Garth's car out there and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, they got a roller coaster called the Hurler, which is still there. And it's also a wooden roller coaster. It is the roughest ride I've ever had in a roller coaster. Honestly, it's not my favorite, but same thing with Thunder Road. It's a rough ride, but
wooden
it's fun.
Wooden coasters are a lot more rattly and shaky. I know Donna doesn't like wooden roller coasters at all. You know, compared to the smooth tracks and the Teflon wheels and things you get with metal roller coasters.
Yeah. Now, the Intimidator and the Fury 325.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's scary when you're doing all the angles and you're flipping and stuff, but it is so smooth. That's like the least thing I'm even thinking about. You're just kind of gliding along. It's great.
Well, there are people that really like the wooden ones. Let's move on. We have many more messages and topics to go.
Hey guys, Jack Jaffe yet again. Let's hear the about Ready Player One. You guys keep bringing that one up a little bit, and everybody's anticipating it. I'm kind of annoyed that apparently I'm thinking Adam Sandler's trying to eat Ernest Cline's lunch for that movie Pixels, which looks absolutely terrible to my mind. All the geeks go, "Oh, that looks great!" Or meanwhile, I'm thinking, they're just eating Ernest Cline's lunch. Anyway, hopefully that gets released a few months beforehand so they're not out in the theaters at the same time. About Ready Player One, the only way Ready Player One will work as a movie is if they basically take the book and chuck it. Not chuck chat it, but just chuck the book a little bit and stay with the original premise of the post-apocalyptic world and everybody living in this online universe, which is just a never-ending reference conundrum. Take the original storyline of a big contest to find the Easter egg, keep the characters, but take out every single reference there is and write the storyline and see what they could get the rights for. Because when I was reading the book going, this would make a brilliant movie, but you'd never be able to afford it because nobody's going to surrender the rights to Firefly and to Star Wars and to, you know, Transformers or all the Ghostbusters, single frickin' Family Ties. Okay, the number of references inside the book is endless, and you never get by the rights to them. What you have to do is you have to write the storyline and see who you can buy the rights for. Because if you can't get the full rights for the project, you can't substitute. It's just never going to work. And if they can actually get Nathan Fillion to cameo in it, or one of the other guys from the actual project to cameo in the work as their character, that would make it all the more better, all the more magical. But again, the rights issues is what's going to kill this project. If they can get around that or through that, it's going to be an epic movie. Anyway, I look forward to seeing it in one way or the other, even if it's a stink fest. Love the show, guys. Catch you later. 101.
Now, he makes a good point, because if you take all those references out, it's still a decent story, but it doesn't have that same magic that, you know, captivated people like you and me.
For crying out loud, we had Ultraman. I mean, how can you take all that out?
Yeah.
Ultraman, the arcade games, I don't know. You know what? I'm thankful that's not my job to repurpose that script.
Oh, exactly. Being one of the staff people that has to go track down all the people. Hey, can we use a soundbite from your video game and a video capture from the no.
You know what they could do is beef up the story a little bit. Like you said, strip all the stuff out. Beef up the story. Maybe get the rights to highlight some of the bigger things and just rely more on the story rather than all the pop culture references, but have some in there, not all of them, obviously. You know, I wonder if somebody would add up how much it would actually cost to get the rights.
Depends. Some people are going to charge more than others. So
yeah, I know. I know. I'm just round numbers. You know, I wonder the magnitude is mind blowing. I think.
Yes, it is. Let's find out what Jack's got in his truck.
Okay, how many devices do I have can go online? Well, I think about four or five inside my semi-truck alone. There's my GPS unit, which can get weather reports.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's my Qualcomm CMT mobile terminal. I guess that connects to the internet, kind of, or at least over their own proprietary network. There's my cell phone, which I'm talking to you right now. The Chromecast, which I got. My laptop, the Xbox. I took out the PlayStation 3. I got a whole bunch of dead old GPS units that I'm not going to count. So I guess about four or five. Unfortunately, though, the only way, well, then there's also my Clear Spot or whatever, which was from Clear Networks, which only functions when I turn it, when I paid the $50 to turn it on.
Six and a half?
I guess that's six. The big problem is getting online mobile access has been a struggle for about the last 6 years, ever since they killed the unlimited data connection.
Now, this is a great idea he's got.
Right now is Sprint.
Listen up.
So, I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody to invent YSAT. There's Wi-Fi. I want satellite Wi-Fi connection. Anywhere within the footprint of the United States of America, I will pay you $150 a month if you could give me unlimited 50 megabit per second access. You know, or at least something with like a reasonable data plan, like, I don't know, 150 gigs or 200 gigs or some of that. 3 gigs, that's a joke. Anyway, love the show, guys. 101.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know how that
would
work.
If you can do satellite radio and GPS and everything from satellites like that, why couldn't you put that in a network package?
I think because Wi-Fi is probably designed at that speed for, and when I say close ranges, I mean like, you know, your house or a good range, but not like beaming it from a satellite. You know how much power you would have to get
there's
that down
line
to
of
Earth
sight networks.
Yeah,
right. You can send
satellite.
You can connect two buildings by that are 10 miles apart. I'm just saying it.
With directional antennas.
You're
yeah.
so negative. You have no faith in future technology. Come on, man.
I'm an optimistic realist.
Hey guys, Jack Jaffe again, aka Trucker Overdrive, which I'm actually mentioning the trucker part because a couple weeks ago you talked about Rand McNally and how much of an adventure it would have been to travel without a Rand McNally road atlas. A little interesting factoid, streets didn't have names way back when. Actually, they just put a road there. It was built by the people who lived in that area, and no one really asked them. You know, it's like, well, let's put a road there. So they just, you know, it was just the road. They didn't need a name for that road. They would name the road which they live on in the town, but a road which connected individual towns they never named. Rand McNally, because they needed to name roads, actually had their guys go around and put up street signs along roads and started the first part of not the interstate system, which was mostly done by Eisenhower, but the actual road system, the U.S. routes or whatever, a lot of them got named and marked by the Rand McNally Corporation.
Wow.
Some people didn't know that one. But anyway, Rand McNally collects way too much of my money in road atlases and GPS units now. Really fun company. Watch our drivers use them. Catch you later.
So that might be where U2 got their song, where the streets have no names.
Yeah, because you know they're history buffs.
It's pre-Rand McNally days.
They're carrying the torch for, you know, hidden knowledge or lost knowledge.
And they haven't paid their Rand McNally fee, so they I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of makes sense because, you know, you think about it, in the old colonial days, you know, it's the road to the other town. And if you live down a side alley, I mean, cities and streets weren't that big. I suppose, you know, if you were in a New York size thing, there had to be some sort of references in more of a metropolitan area.
You're starting to sound like how they just, you know, they say Southerners give directions. Oh, down yonder.
Right. Go down yonder spell.
That away. I don't say spell. I don't know if I've ever heard a Southerner say spell in a sentence like that. Only unless you're making fun of us.
Just said a spell. I've been watching too many Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. Only reckon.
Hey, guys, obviously I'm bored off my butt, and you guys are making my long day of travel very much fun. This is Jack Jaffe again, of course. Hey, you guys are talking about a president who died that wasn't Lincoln by being shot. James A. Garfield. One of his houses was actually in Mentor, Ohio, that apparently how he ran his campaign was he walked out onto his porch and talked to whoever the heck was on his lawn. And then when he was done, he asked them all to leave. And that's how he basically campaigned for president. Believe it or not, and he won elections that way. But anyway, he was shot, and he probably could have lived with the bullet inside of him, but they decided to use this newfangled technology called a metal detector, which they used on a metal spring bed. That didn't work so well. So then the doctors decided, well, let's find that bullet, and I'm pretty sure it's in this organ. No, wait, maybe it's in that organ. Basically, they went around through him performing unnecessary surgeries, opening up his body and all his various organs, trying to find the bullet. He probably could have lived if they didn't decide to kill him medically. But anyway, I figured I'd share that little gruesome factoid with you guys. Love the show, as always, and thank you for making my day just a little bit less dreary.
Quack, quack.
101. Bye.
And that ends the Jack Jaffe Show.
The walking Wikipedia.
I remember, I thought it was Garfield. I think it was Garfield. There was, I'm looking at the list of shot presidents right now.
Shot presidents. I was looking for dead presidents, but then I came up with the band. that was the dead Kennedys.
The dead Kennedys. Here's one. I think it was William McKinley. He was shot. The bullet ricocheted off either a button or an award medal or something like that. And he got shot. He died 8 days later after his health took a turn for the worse, because he was, they didn't say it was a plan to let him die, but they were just, you know, they were introducing things into his body, and they didn't have antibiotics to help ward off any infections. And, you know, it was almost like medieval medicine there.
So just like Dr. McCoy thinks our medicine is today.
Yeah, the barbaric tort.
My toys. God, man, drilling holes in his head is not the answer.
Hey, that's Crazy right. Joe here, and wanted to talk about TV shows that have outlived themselves. The topic, of course, was The Simpsons, and it was mentioned that maybe The Simpsons is past its prime.
Hey, maybe.
No maybe about it. The Simpsons was past its prime in the early 2000s. They're on season 26. A lot of fans consider season 11's Behind the Laughter to be the unofficial final episode of the series, because that's roughly around the point where the series stopped being good. Now, I'm saying season 11. There were some good episodes in season 12, season 13. But the reason people zero in on Behind the Laughter is because it just would have made a great final episode. It's the kind of show that would have been a good stopping point. So that's where a lot of fans draw the line and say this show really unofficially, quote-unquote, ended in your imagination in season 11, Behind the Laughter.
I have to go back and watch that one.
Yeah, that show has been trugging on for over a decade, and it's been nearly unwatchable. It's just stopped being funny many, many years ago.
Like a car with flat tires.
And that's hard to say because I was a fan. Now, a couple others you mentioned that I got to correct you on. Heroes was mentioned.
Yeah.
Heroes actually ended at its prime. Now, here's where the confusion with Heroes came in. Season 3, after the writer's strike, it suffered. And, I mean, it got really, really bad.
Agreed.
It got to be a chore watching Heroes in Season 3. But the thing is, the show righted itself in Season 4. Now, people don't realize that. because so many people stopped watching in season three. People left in droves in season three, so they weren't watching the following year to see that it actually got better again. Season four was the best year of the show. They had the best scripts. The story went some really interesting places.
I wish Mike was here.
Shame because it jumped the shark, but then it jumped back. But nobody's still watching to notice.
Then the shark jumped in.
I'm very glad Heroes is getting another chance and that we're going to get to live in a post-season four world and see where it goes. And another show you mentioned is Survivor. Survivor has not outlived itself. The last season of Survivor, recent season, was actually one of their best. It was really, really good. And it's not ending. It's coming back next season for season 31. And, but the future is bright for Survivor. So that's all I've got. Hi.
Is that the show with the most seasons? Because I think they have, what, two a year?
Yeah, they do two a year. So I was like, wow. It's kind of funny to hear they go to 31. I don't know. I hadn't really watched it in the last several years. But one thing I did like about Survivor is from time to time, they'll change the rules up a little bit, kind of tweak them. And then it's not too formulaic. You know, everybody, it's not like you can figure it out because they may have changed something. And they've tried some things and it didn't work and they, changed it back up. So I don't have a problem with it. I haven't really watched it in a long time, though.
Unlike us, we haven't figured out our formula yet. We just keep trudging on forward.
That's right. We keep tweaking it out, and one day we'll...
About every 6 years, we try something new.
Yeah.
We do have some social media responses. We have one from John Miller. His response to Outlive shows is American Idol.
That's John Miller Jr., by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
You know this person personally?
Yeah, he used to work with me at Internet.
Very cool.
He's a former, quote-unquote, employee. He was actually a customer.
Quote,
and he just kind of stuck around.
Employee. Did you give him a paycheck or not?
Not me personally, but I'm sure my partner did. But he was a customer that ended up sticking around and just kind of worked there.
If you stick around here anymore, we're going to have to pay you.
Yes. Good guy, though. Great
we
guy.
Also have one from the Twitterverse from Shadowbird. He says, Survivor, the Wicked Witch of the East, in parentheses, he puts American Idol, got the house dropped on it. When will the other witch be liquidated? Wow.
What did you ever think your show was, by the way?
Mine was The Simpsons as well.
Yeah, The Simpsons, it's one of those things. I love The Simpsons, but at the same time, it's kind of overstayed its welcome.
Ben Rangaton made a comment in the Technorama Facebook page and said... Mm-hmm. He had a doozy, but since he's not here yet to reveal it, we'll have to wait and see what his is.
Wow.
We have one final voicemail.
Hey, Crazy Jones, we want to talk about Starship Troopers.
Yes.
The idea of a Starship Troopers TV series seemed to bring in a lot of negativity, and I'm really not sure why.
He likes being the contrarian.
Starship Troopers 2 and 3. Well, it were weeks. They were direct-to-video movies, though. I don't think anyone expected great things of them. But I don't see any harm in attempting a TV series, because what's the worst that can happen? It's not good. And if it's not good, we'll just stop watching it.
But you wasted my time.
I don't really see that it hurts anything. But I'm more than willing to give them the attempt. The first movie is so much fun. If they could keep the tone of the first movie... I'd be very happy to tune into that on a weekly basis. We'll see. But I don't understand why there's such negativity on the attempt. I mean, make the attempt. The worst that's going to happen is I'm just not going to tune back in.
But, fair point.
I'd give it about five episodes. All right, that's all I got to say.
Well, in the last year or two, I've been trying to temper my geek knee-jerk reactions. how you go, oh, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
Well, without giving it any chance. So I'm trying to hold back on that a little bit. I didn't care for Starship Troopers, the movie, the first one. It just didn't do it for me. I don't know why. Maybe I don't know.
I thought it was kind of a campy, cheesy, fun movie. Recently, I watched something similar, and I'd be curious to get some of the listeners' feedback on this, called Jupiter Ascending. Have you seen that movie?
No, because the reviews were terrible.
I watched it on the airline, so I didn't have to pay anything extra. And it was entertaining. I thought it was a good storyline. The thing that I just keeps coming up again and again, I know this used to be brought up on Slice, maybe something about this room, is could there...
It kind of hangs in the air.
There's just notes on the wall that say, hey, Hollywood, come up with something original. Quit doing reboots and remakes and sequels. Mm-hmm. You know, there is so much rich material out there in book form that could lend itself well, if done right with the right producers and directors and things, could be done well in a movie. Now, why do we need to keep rehashing old content? I don't know.
I know, right? I'm really getting fatigued by, oh, they're going to reboot so-and-so. It's like, oh, really?
Now, Craig, in all fairness, when they come out with the next Star Trek movie, and they say, oh, we've got the next Star Trek movie, are you going, oh, man, another Star Trek movie?
No.
Okay. Now you're biased. You have some bias against, it's not all just purely new content.
Okay. So I would say obviously Star Trek was the last big successful reboot. Was that right? You think?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying at this point, I'm getting fatigued every time I hear, oh, they're going to reboot this, that, and the other. It's like something else again. You know,
what about Tron? You liked that reboot.
I did. Yeah. It wasn't really a reboot. No, that was a sequel.
Okay.
That wasn't a reboot.
But it was brought up to date. Oh, and by the way, they 86 Tron 3, right, if you didn't catch the news on that.
I think I'm getting more fatigued on the ideas of reboots because how are they going to rehash it now? I don't know. But you're right. There is too much. There's too many good stories out there that are rich, that are ripe for the attention and budget for a movie, than just rehashing everything.
That's true.
So that's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Here's a new
that
idea.
Sounded intelligent, didn't it?
Almost. For you, yes. Julio from Tijuana sends us an email. You can always do that too if you want to send us an email. Let me get down to the email thing.
Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
Mama.
Rhymes with mama.
That's right.
Don't send your mail to your mama. Chuck and Craig, a nice idea for preventing skin cancer at the beach. I hope it catches on, but sadly, it will be another way for people not to experience real life because they're immersed in their phones.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the beach, girl. You ain't got no tan lines. What SPF? You got on your sunblock 100? No. Higher? 150? Higher. 200? Nope. It's 802.11. Well, and he closes a YouTube link in here that we'll include in the show notes as well. So,
and by the way, that was my point. The story he's referring to is where the guys put these huge pylons, and in the shadow of the pylons on the beach, there was like two big monoliths. In the shadow is where you would get your Wi-Fi connection. If you step out of the shadow, it would go away. So the idea was for everybody that was on the beach to get in the shade and get on their phones and stuff. And I was like, well, that's a little counterintuitive. I go to the beach to get off of my phone.
Right.
You know, you're missing the point, I think, to a degree. I can see the value of keeping myself pasty white, you know, but going to the beach to get in the shade just for Wi-Fi? Nah.
No. All right. Thank you very much, Julio. Thank you to Jack Jaffe. Thank you for Crazy Joe and everybody else who made their comments and things known to us. Our question this week as we close out the show. Wow, that was a little loud. I had it cranked up for Crazy Joe's voicemail. Our question this week is, what tech terms need to die? Okay, there's technology, not just talking about electronics. What terms need to go away? You can reach us at 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT, technorama@chuckchat.com if you want to email us. or at Technorama on Twitter. All those places you can find out over on the website, chuckchat.com. Click on the Technorama link, and you'll find all the goodness there. Thank you very much to all the people who sent their comments in. Thank you to you for listening. Thanks to those on the live feed. We are going to be following this live show up with the regular show, 437. So if you're on the live feed, stick around. If you're listening, wait a day or so, and you'll see another show coming up. Until next time, give it to them, Craig.
101.